Thank you for choosing another presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We pray that you will be blessed by the following sermon and that the Holy Spirit will speak to your heart.
Thank you so much for coming today. We hope that the service today will be a blessing. It'll be a challenge, but we hope it'll be a blessing. That's the whole purpose, that we bring the love of God into our fellowship. Now, our guest on our right, I want to say, and again, give me your name. Hello. I need your name. I need your name. Jin Chen. Thank you very much. From Taiwan. Amen. 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 Thank you so much for coming. Thank you. Taiwan. Praise the Lord. And I want to tell you what happened on Wednesday night. If we had time, we'd have him tell his story, but we don't have this morning. But if you were here on Wednesday night, you would have heard it. Sister Desiree Jackson was someplace in the stores, one of the stores, and she was talking. Yes, and she was talking with this gentleman, and she said, you know, I got to leave. I've got to go to prayer meeting. And he said, well, I'm going with you. So he came to prayer meeting, sitting right here in prayer meeting. And oh, what a wonderful testimony he had. He has several doctorates. He's a medical doctor. He's a doctor of acupuncture and so forth. And he's now studying for a doctorate of theology. Amen. And he said he was someone invited him to go into a theater to see a movie. And he said when he saw the movie with the hands being nailed and the blood running down, he said tears just flooded his face. And he said, I want to be a Christian. And he's a Buddhist by training. But he said, I want to be a Christian. So he came here and he said, I want somebody to teach me the Bible. Amen? We've got people all over which are coming asking to be trained in Bible, and they're looking for you to be there. They're looking for you to be at prayer meeting. They're looking for you to be at Sabbath school. They're saying, where are the saints? We don't want to be a part of when the saints go marching out. We want to be when the saints go marching in. Amen? So we got important things that we have to do, but there is nothing more important than we be a witness of what we believe. That's the difference. The greatest argument in the faith in favor of the gospel is a loving and lovable Christian. That's it. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, by what? If you have love for one another. Paul said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Right? No, we are to gather together and press together as we see the events around us. Do you see what's happening right now on Wall Street? Anybody seen the roller coaster on Wall Street? Is it going up or down? It's going down. A little up, but mostly down. Is that a surprise to us? Shouldn't be. For what were we told what would happen in the last day? Just before the coming of the Son of Man, what did we find out would happen? Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things that are coming upon the earth. You see, the people who really understand what's happening in the world, the real people who understand, like Bernanke, you know, the feds, what's happening with the feds, the people on the stock market, they know what they won't tell you and me. What do they know? They have no solution to the problem of finances right now. None. And there's none on the horizon. Nobody has any. Barack Obama doesn't have a solution. Nobody in this cabinet has a solution. Nobody in Germany has a solution. Nobody in China or in Japan or in France. Nobody has a solution to the problem that we are facing right now. And yet, we continue as business as usual. Now, I don't know if you looked most recently to see how much interest you are gaining with your money in the bank. If you listen to the report that just came last week, it said growth in America is flatlined. No growth. Jobs, people hunting for jobs, they're just looking for some way to eke it out during this problem. So I don't know how much money you have stashed away, but the reality of the matter is it doesn't matter because it's going to be gone anyhow. We know that. So we are focusing this morning on the first day of our training for Evangelism 2011 at Southside. Can I have the first slide, please? The Gospel Commission. Now, we can quote this from memory, right? We all know the Gospel Commission, right? You turn in your Bibles to it. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. Love to hear the pages rattle. We have stuff on the screen, but we need to be able to use our Bibles. Bring them with you. This is school time. Bring your Bibles with you. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. I know you can quote it from memory because we've said it over and over and over again, but let's read it together. Go ye, therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Again, the salient part. Go, teach all nations, baptize. That's our challenge. We want to talk today a little bit, and I'm not going to keep you long because, well, I won't say that. I'll bypass that. That's a by statement. We have a challenge before us. And how many of you enjoyed the Sabbath school lesson, the seniors? The Sabbath school lesson for this week. Amen. I mean, this is the message. The message that was given in the Sabbath school lesson today is the message. And we have got to not only read it, but as Pastor Ramey used to say, what did he say? Education without application leads to constipation. Take some Ax-Lax. We're constipated here. We've had instruction, pastor after pastor, sermon after sermon. Dr. Longo, what did he talk about? Taking the talent and the one talent and doing what? Burying it. Go get the shovel and uncover it. Because when the Lord comes, he's going to ask, what did you do with that talent? And all the excuses in the world is not going to solve the problem. Right? And then Chaplain Andrews came and he preached. And what did he say about Peter and the boat? He said Peter was the only one who had the gumption to go and get outside the boat. We call that failure because he didn't make it. But he was the only one who had the opportunity to say, I walked on water. Unless you get outside of your comfort zone, you will never know what it is to be blessed. Amen? But no, I'm afraid. No, I can't do that. You know, that's not one of my gifts. You know, use what you have, and God will bless it and multiply it. That's the story. And so we've had sermon after sermon. Roger Frazier was here. Now Roger tore this place up. He didn't spare the rod. And then Brother Johnson was here. And we hear all these wonderful sermons. And we go home and keep doing the same thing, having the preacher for dinner. Dissecting. Well, he should have said this. Why didn't he say that? How come he said it that way? Instead of us taking what has been given and doing something with it, we find every reason why we have criticism of whatever was said. If he didn't say we crucify it, and if he did say it, we crucify him. When are we going to change? That's the only way growth takes place, is by change. So today, we're going to take just a few minutes and look at a few texts to remind us of the purpose for us being here. You have your bulletin in front of you, I hope. Look at it. Your bulletin. I didn't bring up one up here with me, but I think you know what it is. Look at it. In your bulletin, next slide, please. We have Southside's mission statement. Okay? We want you to read that. Open your bulletin. Everyone, take a look at it. Southside's mission statement. Okay? And I think that's a misspelling here. It should be C-O-N. I corrected it there, but I didn't correct it on my notes. Let's read that together. What does it say? By the grace of God and... we are. Now let's look at that. By the what? Grace of who? Of God. And the authority of whom? Jesus Christ. And we are a spirit-led church to what? Trained to evangelize and disciple others into a loving fellowship open to all in the community. You know, only love wins. Only love wins. In heaven, the original argument, and still today, that Lucifer posed was angels don't need laws. We're in heaven. We don't need no laws to govern us. Our minds will automatically have us do what's right. Why do we need, you know, it was a shock to the angels that there was a law in heaven. They just lived the law. They lived love. They didn't know there was anybody in the law in heaven. But Lucifer, right next to the throne of God, said, hey, guess what? Guess what? Did you know that there's a law with you under? The law of God? The angels were surprised because they were all living the law of love. And then he began his masterful lies. God is not loving. He's a tyrant. He just wants you to serve him for himself. He's egotistical. And people started to look. The beings up there, the angels begin to say, well, what in the world is this? God has said love alone will win. Now somebody said, well, if love alone will win, then why have laws? Why have rules? The law of God is an expression of his character. His character is love. So when the first commandment says, thou shalt have no other gods before me, people say, uh-oh. But what God is saying, what did Jesus say when the rich young ruler came to him? What did he say? Master, what are the two great commandments? What is the great commandment of the law? What did Jesus say? Thou shalt, no, he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. We often forget that. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So we're talking about going to heaven and getting ready for Jesus to come and getting out of this world, and our neighbors know nothing about it. If my house was on fire and my neighbor saw it and said, well, you know, that's his house. Hey, my house, you know, that's not my worry. You know, they're sleeping in bed, but you know, that's not my problem. You know, they ought to have a fire alarm, you know. Is that the way it works? No, people run to your door. There's a fire in your house. Wake up. But people all around us are going to hell. And we ain't saying nothing. The word is mum. I ain't saying nothing. Sister Desiree Jackson, with my brother here in the store this week, she said, you know, I'm going to prayer meeting. Now, she could have just simply said, you know, I got to go somewhere. Goodbye. Is that what she said? No, she said, I'm going to prayer meeting. And what was his response? I'm going with you. That's the witness the world is dying to hear. And we got every single, well, you know, I don't want to offend anybody. You know, I'm afraid of, you know. But if some other goody, we ready to, our mouths are just, hey, have you heard of it? And did you see this on TV? And did you see it? But when it comes to the Lord, the word is mum. I ain't saying anything about it. A loving fellowship. Trained to evangelize. This is the first Sabbath of training for evangelism. But you know, as I thought about the message, the word of the Lord came to me and he said, you're putting the cart before the horse. You can't train people who don't want to be trained. Oh, I already know that. You know, why do you keep on with the same thing? You know, I was brought up with that. You know? What did Jesus say to the rich young ruler who came to him and said, good master, what good thing should I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, well, you know, he didn't go to commandment 1, 2, 3, and 4. He went 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9, 10. And the young man said, oh, I've done this from the youth up. You know, I've kept those. Then what did Jesus say to him? Go sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and then come follow me and you will have riches in heaven. And what happened to him? He went away sorrowful because money was his god. Now we got our own gods. You know that square box screen in our house, you know, everything come through it, and we look at it and we abide it. By beholding, you become changed. That's divine law throughout nature. So we keep beholding and keep beholding and keep beholding, and we wonder why we are changed and why our children are changed and our grandchildren are changed. because they are changed by what they see, what they hear. And so we keep putting the same thing in front of them, and now they got their own. You know, I don't need to worry about what I got my own cell phone. I got my this. If the cell phone goes out in the church, I'm on it, I'm out the door, so I can answer the cell phone. And we wonder why we're not growing. Is it any wonder? No. It is not wonder. Train to evangelize into a loving fellowship. So I want to have a focus here. Next slide. Focus. And my next slide. What is Spirit-led evangelism? Open your Bibles. Zechariah 4:6. I know you can quote it from memory, right? Had it this week, right? Sabbath school lesson. Zechariah 4:6. And you know where Zechariah is. Zechariah is near the end of the Old Testament. All right? Zechariah. Chapter 4, verse 6. We're going to read that together. Yeah, you found it? Say amen if you got it. All right, I'll give you a couple of moments. I don't want you to miss this one. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. All right, let's read that together. Okay, we'll wait a moment. You know, folks, let's open our Bibles. Let's share the word. Zechariah 4:6, reading together. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. That's it. It's by his spirit alone that we can hope to have any success in evangelism. Spirit led, not by might nor by power. Spirit led evangelism. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20. What does that tell us? Isaiah 8, verse 20. You know it. It's nothing new. It's been here for centuries. Isaiah 8, verse 20. All right, follow with us. Isaiah 8, verse 20. Have it? Amen. Let's read it together. To the law and to the testimony. If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. It's the law and the testimony. Somebody said, well, why do we need to have a law? Because the law is a transcript of God's character, which is love. See, God gave us those commandments because he loved us. A child is walking along your swimming pool. I don't have one, but anyway. And there's no guardrail there. And you tell that child, come away from there. Why? Because you don't love them? No, because you don't want them to drown and lose them. It's near the fire, and the child wants to just tantalize by the flames. He wants to go and touch it. No, no, get away from there. You'll get burned. Do you love them? Yeah, because you don't want them burned. The teenage young lady and I, she was when I was in the clinic at the health department, I was in charge of sexually transmitted diseases. So I was in the clinic seeing these young ladies, unfortunately, who had been duped into all kinds of behavior that had the potential of giving them fatal disease that they would never be able to get from. HIV, AIDS, herpes, you name it. And so I was trying to explain to her the risks. And she said, I don't want you to tell me about it. I want to experience it. Have mercy. Had no idea of what she was saying. Another young lady walked in, and she was 16 or so, but she was dolled up like she was 22. And we had to treat her for some diseases that she had. And so I talked to her, and I said, you know, it looks like you really don't want to live long. Oh, yeah, you know. I said, it doesn't look like you want to get married. And yeah, I want to get married. I want to have a family. I want to do da-da-da-da and back and forth. And she was trying to proposition me while I'm talking to her in the clinic. Okay? And I said to her, honey, listen. If you go to Highway 99 and you walk across Highway 99 in the middle of rush hour traffic, what's the chance you're going to get all the way across to the other side? Oh, no, I wouldn't do that, you know. I said, you know, you need to go over to the clinic and get tested for HIV right now because you may already have been bitten and don't know it. God has a reason that he has laws and rules, and it's for our safety. Isn't that what he said to the devil about Job? What did Job say? And what did the devil say? You put a hedge around him. And we complaining about the hedge. Tear the hedge down. I don't want the hedge around me. I want to do whatever I want to whenever I get ready. Nobody going to tell me what to do. God said, I'm trying to save you, honey. But you want to do whatever you want to do whenever you get ready. What a fatal trap. So, what is spirit-led evangelism? If they speak not according to this word. Oh, I don't see nothing wrong with that. Well, I think I don't see that's a little part. Well, who asked you your opinion? God tells us what he wants us to do, and he never said, and by the way, I would like your opinion about it. Oh, but doesn't the Bible say, come and let us reason together? Yeah, it does. What's the next thing it says? Though your sins be as scarlet, they should be as white. So that's the reason God's talking about. The reasoning God's talking about is repent. But we want to do what we want to do. And if the preacher doesn't preach what we want to do, I'm going to another church. I ain't going to church. Who's preaching this Sabbath? Who's the preacher? Oh, well, I think I'll go to visit another church this week. I don't think I'll come at Southside. And we think we're doing ourselves a favor. Have mercy. 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21. Let's look at it. Is this the dueling doctrine? Let's look at it. 2 Peter 1, 21. And we're going to hurry through the rest of these slides. 2 Peter 1:21. Reading. Are you there? 2 Peter 1:21. Reading together. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I'm just the postman. I'm delivering mail. Don't get angry at me. Go talk to the postmaster general. I didn't send the mail. I just delivered it. That's all I'm doing. I'm delivering the mail because one day I will stand before God and God will say, if I don't, Doolin, what did you do with the mail? I heard that there was some mailman, I don't know, in Chicago someplace, they found him. He had all kind of mail stacked all throughout his barn and his garage. And he never delivered it. Never opened and never delivered it. But that's what he was getting paid for. I take a walk every now and then. I try to do it every day, but my knees are not that good anymore, so I have to ride my stationary bicycle to get a little more exercise. But when I walk, you know what I hear? Before I even get near to the house, what do I hear? Dogs barking. I'm not even near them yet. Woof, woof, woof. Woof, 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 woof. All them different tremolos and all the rest of it. Dogs are barking. God said, ye are watchmen on the tower, the walls of Zion, and we're afraid to do our job. Even dogs bark. Yeah, even dogs bark. But we're afraid to bark. We are afraid to say what God tells us to say. Have mercy upon us. 2 Peter, holy men of God, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm going to have to slip through some of this. Somebody wants to know, I got to leave now. I'm about ready to leave. So let me give you the nutshell before you walk out. The nutshell of the message is, there can be no evangelism without the Holy Spirit. You got it. You got it? All right? You hear nothing else. There can be no evangelism, effective evangelism, without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit works within an individual. The Holy Spirit will never impose himself upon me or you. He will never say, you got to do it. He will not. He will plead. He will beg. But the Holy Spirit will not force either you nor me to do what he asked us to do. That's the message. What was Jesus' message? Look at Luke 4, 18 and 19. I'm not going to let you can look at it. I'm going to read it to you because time's gone. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to do what? Preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And when he said that, what did the people in his home church do? Hello? What did they do? They took him out to the brow of a hill and tried to kick him over. Who is this young man, this young whippersnapper? Who does he think he is? We'll show him. We know his father, Joseph. We know his brothers and sisters. We know he grew up here as a carpenter's son. Who does he think he is? The audacity to come into this synagogue and tell us. We'll show him. And the Holy Spirit led him right through the midst of him, and he went his way. Do we expect any better reception at Southside? I don't. God sends a message and he says, you either deliver it or I'll get somebody else to do it. That's what he says. And you know, I plan to walk them those streets up there. You know, I plan to be up there. When the saints go marching in, I plan to walk in. And I don't care who it is, I'm going to tell you what God tells me to say. And some people say, well, you know, people are going to be leaving, and you're raising the bar too high, and if you raise the bar that high, wait a minute, at Sabbath school, every Sabbath school teacher ought to be on time. Every member ought to be on time. I'm sick and tired of coming to Sabbath school on Sabbath morning, not a single Sabbath school teacher on any of the youth, children and youth divisions. Not one. And yet we want people to come and join us. What is that about? We have got to be real. God starts with leaders, elders, deacons, deaconesses, leaders in the church. And you know, it's like, I'm an officer in the church, but you know, I don't really have to come to Sabbath school. Sabbath school isn't important. Do you realize that the areas of the Seventh-day Adventist Church that are exploding in inter-America, over 1 million believers just in inter-American division alone, Africa is exploding every day. Do you realize those places, Sabbath school is larger attendance than church attendance? It has always been that way with the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And we think they ought to be glad I got here. Whenever I get here. And so when we look in nominating committee, we're looking for people to come as new officers next year, and we bring and raise the question, do they come to Sabbath school? Well, if you keep that, you ain't gonna have nobody gonna be an officer. Well, maybe it's better not to have any officers unless we can stand for the right, though the heavens fall. God's not interested in numbers. Our Sabbath school this week told us God is interested in those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. We got to stop making compromises. God loves us. That's why he gives us this. He doesn't hate us. He loves us. We can't earn our way to heaven. We're all sinners. We all made mistakes. But God calls us back to repentance. Lord, David said, create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. So what was Jesus' explicit directions to his disciples regarding preparation for evangelism? Next slide. John the Baptist, we slip back that. We'll pass. I'm going to pass John the Baptist. I want to go to what Jesus' expectations were. Yes. Acts 1, 4, 5, and 8. You know it. He said, go out and spread the gospel to all the world, right? I'm telling you tonight now to go out and spread the gospel. Is that what he said? No. Look at it. Acts 1, 4. What does he say? I know. Open your Bibles. We're in school. Open your Bibles. Acts 1, verse 4. What does it say? Wait. Wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. But we're ready to go. You're not ready to go. You cannot go and witness for me unless you have my Holy Spirit upon you. And we skip John's message, but John's message was, I saw the Holy Spirit descend upon him like a dove. Without the Holy Spirit, there can be no witness for Jesus. No positive witness for Jesus. Yes, every one of us have a choice. Keep reading, Jesus said. The Holy Ghost is going to, in not many days hence, and you shall receive power. You know that word the pastor tells us about dunamis? Dynamite power. You got here and you got the little firecrackers, you know, your little baby fingers, you know, you light them, you know, on 4th of July, you light them. That's not going anywhere. You need dynamite power. Holy Ghost power. Without that kind of power, ain't nothing happening around here. Cause don't have no power. What's happening to the screen? No power. What happened to the organ? No power. You cannot, I cannot witness for Jesus Christ without the power of the Holy Ghost. You shall be witnesses unto me. Well, I'm going to skip over a few more now. Spirit-filled evangelism summary. Only those who are filled with the Spirit can be successful evangelists. Period. Without the active power of the Holy Spirit in the life of every believer, of the believer, every evangelistic method is doomed to fail. All these methods and all these techniques and all this stuff and da 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 and all the trainings and all this and all the net this and all on the 3ABN and all of that stuff without the Holy Ghost is going nowhere. Doomed to fail. The hosts of evil have a heyday when, quote, Christians go into battle against Satan as if they are going to a picnic. Next slide. I'm turning my page here, trying to get it over here. He doesn't want to cooperate. That's all right. Quote, there is no need to prepare. This is going to be easy. Huh? Yeah, this is going to be easy. Let's look at the next one. Oh, this battle will be over in a couple of hours. Let's have lunch at our usual place. Hmm? Yeah. Just a little battle here. Just a little skirmish. But we through this, you know. Was it President George Bush who flew down to the carrier and told him, mission accomplished? Isn't that who it was? Yeah, mission accomplished. Is it over yet? No, it is not over. In the battle for the souls of men and women, boys and girls, according to Scripture, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You think that you got an easy battle? We have a most malignant foe, like a roaring lion that is seeking whom he may devour. He will not let one soul that he has trapped be released without a fight. A fierce battle. And when this, my brother came in and Sister Desiree invited him to come and he decided to come with her, there was a fierce battle going on. And all the B-52 bombers and all the arsenals of the wicked of the enemy were aimed against this brother. But he made up his mind that he wanted to find truth. Not all of the angels in hell can conquer the weakest soul who depends on Jesus. God would rather send every angel from heaven rather than the weakest soul be defeated in the battle against wickedness. But it's our choice. Closing. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. Don't go out there without the armor. The whole armor of who? God. That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and put your feet and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, whereby ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And now, our closing text. You know it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You know it. You've heard it over and over and over again. And you know it hasn't lost any of its luster. 2 Chronicles 7:14. You got it? You got it? Let's read it together. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. God bless you. We're in the midst of a battle, folk. And God doesn't play the battle by numbers. There were 33,000 men in Israel that were called to a battle by Gideon. And God said, that's too many. And so God reduced it down to 3,000. And God said, still too many. So God had them walk across the brook, and those who would not stop but would get water on the hand, in the cup it in their hands and keep moving, God said, those are the ones I'm choosing. Men against multitude thousands. But they won the victory. Saul and his army were afraid of the Philistines. But Jonathan and his armor bearer said, let's see what the Lord will do for us. So what did they do? They started climbing up and they asked God a sign. And God gave them the sign. Come on up here. We'll show you a thing or two. That's just the sign they looked for. And as a result, there was a marvelous deliverance of the children of Israel. David, a little shepherd boy. Everybody else is afraid of Goliath. Yet David, under the Spirit of God, said, Saul, I don't need your armor. I go on what I've been tested, tried, and true. Do you know the word? Have you tested the word of God? Have you tried him? Do you know that what he says is true? Can you stand on it? So David, 5 stones and a sling. He had taken down a bear with that. He had taken down a lion with that. He knew what God could do. And when Goliath came forward, bam, it was over. Listen, church. This is our day. We can take Jericho.
Thank you for listening to another powerful presentation from the Southside Seventh-day Adventist Church. We trust that you have been blessed and pray that you will choose to be used by God. As always, stay blessed, by the best.